Alrighty, welcome to the Journey to Wellness podcast, Emily. Thanks for hopping on with me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm appreciative of the being a guest.
Yeah. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and what you offer?
I am an author. I've published a few books and was a teacher in the K-12 education system for 25 years. And last year decided that I wanted to do more with my writing and journaling, but with a focus. So I wanted to continue to teach people. And the area I've chosen to focus on is grief. So 6 years ago, I lost my husband very unexpectedly. And I went through and did all kinds of things. I relied on my faith. I relied on counseling. I took medication for a little while. But through all of it, journaling was something for me that was extremely helpful to process my emotions, to be in that grief, to feel the feels, to not burden other people, to get out anger, kind of all of those, what they used to call stages. And so writing was something for me that was extremely healing. And in processing that, it was something I wish I could have just purchased and not had to figure out on my own. And so now I do workshops and workbooks, and I've created some journals. And now I have a heartfelt healing program where I help other widows heal through writing.
Wow, that's beautiful. I mean, of course, losing somebody is tragic and so hard. Have you journaled your entire life, or did it really just happen after your husband passed?
I have always been somebody that wrote. I had a diary growing up, like the, you know, sit down in the evening and dear diary, today I went out with my friends and we did whatever. And it was, I think, pretty casual. And then I found that I'm not a verbal processor. I know a lot of people need to talk through stuff, whether they just sit down and share information. And for me, I need to write it first and get my thoughts kind of organized and figured out. And then I can share that with somebody, or I can read it, or I kind of have my thoughts organized. And so I've always done writing. But I found some different techniques when I was doing it in relation to grief and loss, and most recently now figuring out kind of who I am now that my kids are getting older and I'm in a new relationship and I've retired and all of those life changes. And so, yes, I've always journaled. I always have a notebook with me. I have, I don't know, 14 notebooks going right now. I was somewhere the other day and they're like, do you have a piece of paper? And then they looked at me and they're like, well, of course you have a piece of paper. Like, of course you have a journal with you. It is just how I process. And I think it's another way of communicating, and whether you're communicating with somebody else or yourself can be really helpful.
Yeah, definitely. I totally resonate with that. I'm a writer as well. And I've been journaling. Like, I think I have consecutive journals from when I got my first one as a gift for my birthday in like second grade. And so I totally resonate with you having to get your thoughts out on paper before you process. My husband has had to get used to that, because I'll have to like journal. And then I'm like, okay, now I know why I'm frustrated. Now I know why I'm angry. Now I know why. But like before that, I can't explain it in a way that like makes sense. It just comes out sounding bleh.
Well, and I have a lot of tears that come with it. Like if I'm talking about something that I'm affected by or I'm passionate about, the tears flow. And then that makes it hard, because then I'm trying to deal with the emotional component and the thoughts and all of those things. And so a lot of times while I'm writing, I have like tear stains on the corners, or I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, continually wiping my face while I'm writing. And so it does like that emotional outlet as well. And then doing different techniques for writing, you know, you can brain dump and just make a list of everything you're thinking about and then turn those into something, or you can be focused on an emotion that you're feeling and write all about it. And, or you can write poetry or write a song, or, and getting inspiration from so many places of like what to write about.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to ask that, because you had said you have a bunch of different methods now. Are those some of those methods that you use now in your journaling?
Yes. I often, I have a journal that I, I kind of just write whatever comes up. I sit down with the intention that I'm just going to let my mind work and my heart speak, and I write down whatever comes out. And sometimes it's, I've got this activity today. Sometimes it's, oh, I'm worried about this. Sometimes it's a list of different things. Sometimes I look up a definition, or I work with synonyms and antonyms and kind of do more like a English lesson kind of thing. But I also have a journal where I write letters to God. And so I sit down every, you know, and it's whatever's kind of on my heart of something I'm thinking about. And so whether it's a prayer request, or it's an offer of gratitude, or it's a, you know, a thank you, here's, you know, thank you for, you know, my children or something. And then I have poetry for me often is a form of writing. So I'm often working through something, and then a line will pop in my head, and then I kind of go from there. And sometimes I take it from long form sentence style journaling, and then I turn it into a poem. And so I have a notebook that I kind of keep all of my poems in. And so I have published a book of poetry, and I would like to publish a second one. And so I'm trying to be a little more organized in my writing this time and not have to go back through years of journals to pull them out. I also write letters to people that I never will send. And that can be a really therapeutic way of writing, is to pick somebody that you have questions about or anger with, or even love in the memories. That was one of the things when my husband Steve passed away, is that I wrote letters to him because I couldn't give him those letters and I couldn't speak to him. And so having that way of, and sometimes they were, you know, simple, ridiculous things of like, oh, today the boys and I did whatever. I have three sons. And so I would explain even just the basics of what we had done during the day. And other times it was the missing you, lonely, why aren't you here? And then there was the anger of these things you're going to miss. My son was a senior that year, and like him missing graduation and not being there for these big life events. And so having that, and then also being able to write as a form of prayer. That's one of the things that I have found, is to be able to just sit down and I believe in God. And so I will write letters to God, and going through and questioning the loss and being angry, and those pieces that I didn't feel like I could say out loud. I didn't feel like other people were going through these same things. Did people have these same thoughts? And so just coming up with different things that worked for me, and hearing like a song on the radio, sometimes it's a trigger. It makes me sob, and, you know, I turn it off and I go to something else. And sometimes I just listen through, you know, through the whole song and cry and remember, and other times they bring me joy. And so even writing down a lyric or copying the lyrics from a song can be another way to heal. And so now I've kind of taken all of these ideas and different things that I've done for 6 years and compiled it all into a workbook style program.
Yeah. One thing that I'm hearing is that with working through all this, you're feeling the emotion while you're journaling, which I can relate to also. And one thing I've learned with emotional healing is that in order to heal, we have to go into the emotion and feel it, to process it, to release it. We can't avoid it. So it sounds, it's so powerful, journaling is, because when we're journaling and we're feeling those things, we're allowing ourselves to walk into it. And it almost feels like a little bit easier, because as we're journaling, we're almost doing like a kinetic thing with it.
Yes. And there's lots of science behind handwriting versus typing. And the fact that you're forming letters a different way does different connections in your brain versus if you're typing, that motion is no different whether you're hitting D or you're hitting L. There's no distinction between that. So handwriting does have a lot of science behind it. But I like that you can pause, you can write something, you can pause, you can come back to it. So as you're writing and being able to think about the emotions, and a lot of times for me, they just come out. Like I don't sit down and I'm like, oh, I'm going to write this angry letter today about how I feel about this grief and how unfair it is that he's gone and I'm here now as a single parent. Like that's not often my intent. Sometimes I am. I'm like, oh, I've got to sit down and get some of this stuff out of my head. But a lot of times it comes up when I'm writing about something. last week I was having some more moments. I felt like I was grieving again last week, and sitting down and being like, okay, where am I with this grief? Where have I come on this journey? And then some anger came back up again. And I was like, oh, I forget that for me, anger is one of those emotions that's hard for me to process. I feel like I don't like how it feels in my body. I don't like how it feels mentally to be angry and be upset. I'm kind of an outgoing, bubbly, kind person. And so anger feels almost wrong to me. But if I'm doing it in a journal, I can let it out because there's no judgment from anybody. And I have taken my journals and I've turned them into books and I've published them and the world has read them. But for the most part, my journaling is just mine. Nobody is going to read it. Nobody is going to see it. And having that mentality going into it of just whatever I write is for me, it's like a little bit of my soul is outside of me. And it's like that part of my soul talks to me. And so it's for me having a conversation with me instead of having a conversation with a best friend or a spouse or my mom. Being able to just talk to myself and not have that judgment fear, even though most of the time when you're talking to somebody, if you're talking to your best friend, they're not judging you, but there's that little apprehensive piece of, oh, what are they going to think if I say that I'm angry about this or that I want to punch a wall, or how is that going to be taken if somebody hears that and they know who I am? But if I write it, and for me, I keep my journals, and that's a decision that people have to make too on what they want to do. So when you become somebody who journals, figuring out your purpose for journaling and then figuring out what are you going to do with what you've written? Are you going to burn it? Are you going to shred it? Are you going to just throw it in the garbage on garbage day? Are you going to keep it and be able to go back and reflect? Are you writing so that somebody else can read it? Are you getting your story out so that eventually you will turn it into a book or something that you're going to publish or you're going to share with your children or your siblings? Like, what is your purpose for writing? And then what are you going to do with it? And so there's, I think, multiple steps to journaling. I think it's difficult to just sit down and grab a piece of paper and go. But on the other hand, I think that's what you just need to do. And then you can figure out, like, oh, I don't like writing on loose leaf paper. I like writing in a notebook. I don't like spiral bound. I like a soft cover. I don't like, for me, I don't like writing with pencil. And I know a lot of people do because you can erase. And so figuring out like what works for you for journaling, why you would want to journal, and then what are you going to do with it when you're done? And there's no wrong answers to that. It's a really personal experience for everybody. And so that's one of my goals is to help people figure out if journaling is a practice they could adopt and how they can add that into their life if it's something that works for them. And there's lots of different ways you can journal without handwriting. If that's something that's, difficult for you, or I mean, you can do voice things, you can do typing, but there is something for me that's extremely calming to have a piece of paper and then to be able to go back and look at what I've written, process it again. Sometimes I go back and I read something I wrote a couple weeks ago, and then I'm like, oh, there's another layer to this now that I have had a conversation with somebody about it and I've thought about it, or there's more coming up, and then I can write more of that.
Yeah, definitely. So, you've talked about a few different types of journaling, like poetry or just journaling what you're feeling or writing about your day. You also do bullet journaling. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so bullet journaling was a method developed by a man named Ryder Carroll quite a few years ago. And it was basically for productivity. It was a way to get your to-do list and your tasks organized. And so he said, all you need is a notebook. And, he used a black pen and you would make a list and you would use different symbols. So different little bullets. So you might have a dot or an open circle or a square or an arrow, and you would write down everything in this master list and you would organize it. And the world took it and has changed it completely from what his system was. Although most people still do have the to-do list, the productivity component. For me, bullet journaling is a way to organize my thoughts in a more categorical way. For me, when I do what I call journaling, it's writing, it's sentences, it's paragraphs, it's messy, it's quick. And then bullet journaling is more organized, where I have lists of different things. And so I keep a tracker with some self-care things that I do, throughout the week. And then I have a bingo board that I make of kind of those monthly bigger self-care items. And I have a spot that I start my day with gratitude. And so I write three things of gratitude, and I have it set up ahead of time that I have the date and I have three little hearts. And I have a calendar page and I list birthdays and anniversaries and events coming up. And for me, it's a couple minutes in the morning and a couple minutes in the evening. And so I start my day with gratitude and looking at my to-do list and kind of what am I going to do today? What's my focus going to be? I have goals related to my soul and my income and relationships. And so I kind of look at something in each of those areas. And then in the evening, I go back and I keep track of kind of what self-care things I've done, if I had any medical or health things happen during the day, if I had a migraine or cough. And then I list things that brought me joy. I have a prayer list. So it's just a way to kind of get everything out of my head and start and end my day with gratitude and joy. And so that is another form of journaling that doesn't have lots and lots of sentences, and it's not often as emotional type of journaling, but it does help clear out my brain and keep me organized. And then I'm able to go back and look and say, oh, on my self-care, like, oh, I haven't gone to the movies this month, and that's something that I really enjoy is going to the movies. And so then it'll cause me to go and look at the movie listing and see if there's anything playing. And or oh, I haven't gone and watched the sunset, in a couple weeks. So how can I add that to my schedule for this week? And so it's just another way of seeing that self-care, that connection to my faith, that deeper way to organize my thoughts, I guess, versus just having a rambling, which is what I feel my normal journaling is. So, yeah, having a variety of different ways to journal is helpful too.
Yeah, I love the organization of the habits. I've seen your bullet journal and it's really cool. It just is really well organized. And like you said, you kind of map out every day for the month and kind of set up everything so it's all organized for the whole month. So then it's easy to just go in there and bullet it day of.
Right. Yeah, I set it up. That's one of the benefits of bullet journaling is that it's personalized. And so you keep track of what you want and what you do in your life. And so maybe you don't do gratitude. Maybe you do a line of the day as a memory keeper, or maybe you are working on your physical movement. And so you're tracking your steps or minutes of movement a day. And so it's just really personalized, and then it's totally adaptable. So last month I was kind of organizing by the week of kind of the different tasks. And now I'm realizing I almost need it daily of just these are the few. So I have a master task list of all these things I'd like to do in the month, kind of brain dump as something pops up. And then I put it on kind of what day it needs to happen. And so being able to adapt it from day to day, week to week, month to month is the other huge benefit of bullet journaling. And it does take me a couple hours, probably 2 to 3 hours to set up the whole month if I do all of it and I get it all. And then I make it look pretty because I find that if I go into it and it's black and white, just as like pen and paper, I have done black and white and gray scale. That also can look really pretty, but I'll add some color to it and those kind of things when I set it up. But then each day I just go in and use a black pen because if I have to have markers and everything with me, I won't fill it out. And so learning that about what style I needed, and I change it up. Sometimes I put in stickers or I put in washi tape. I mean, there's lots of things you can do with that. But setting it up for me is fun. It's an art activity. It's another way of being creative. And so I don't find that as like a task. For me, that's fun, is picking what colors I want to use and setting it up and going back and reflecting and saying, oh, I don't really like how this page was set up. And oh, I want to have this in there now. And oh, we have lots of things coming up with a summer vacation. And so I'm going to make a vacation page, you know, where I kind of plan out those things. So it's really adaptable. It's really personalized. And that's part of it that I find really fun is that setup. And then using it daily is also a way to help me heal and track things and just have everything kind of in one spot.
Yeah. So you had mentioned earlier on, and this is a great time to ask this. Do you do classes? You said you do classes with journaling. Do you do a specific bullet journaling classes or?
Yes. So I have done bullet journaling classes with groups of people, like in person, stand up in front of everybody, show them the different examples. There's hundreds of examples. There's so many different videos you can go and watch. So I offer classes in person, but I also offer them through a Google Meet or a Zoom call. So if you're interested in just seeing what it is and how it can help you, I offer it both ways because not everybody is local. And so I have connections, you know, across the world. And so offering it that way. And then I have a slideshow that I can share so you can see some of the different layouts. And then we talk about what do you need? I had a conversation with somebody and she homeschools. And so she was like, oh, I might need two of them, one kind of for my personal life and then one for my homeschooling journey. And I could keep track of the different activities and plan things out. And so it was really neat to see how she was able to take the concept of bullet journaling and then make it her own. And so I do offer groups or individual in person and online.
Cool. What are some of the other classes that you offer?
I do a basic course on learning to journal. It's a self-guided, you could get it as a self-guided workbook, but then I also will walk through and have you do different activities where you're using wide ruled paper or college ruled paper, and then grabbing a pencil and then a mechanical pencil and then a blue pen and then maybe a fine tip marker and just really experimenting with how you physically can actually do the writing component, and then going into what is your purpose? What are some different ways to write? And then sometimes I take that course and I combine it with a self-care journaling course. So in there, we kind of figure out what tools might work best for you. And then we do different activities with writing prompts. So that's another way people journal is they start with a prompt. So whether it's a question or a sentence starter. So one of the most powerful journaling prompts is I feel ... And then you just go with whatever comes up. So it might be I feel hungry. And you write about what you're planning to eat for the day. Like journaling doesn't always have to be this deep emotional sob session. It can literally be just processing your menu plan for the week. But starting with that journal prompt. And so going back to when you were little or going back to what brings you joy or what doesn't bring you joy can be a really helpful way. And so I offer self-care journaling as another way for people to look at that self-care piece and realize that, you know, the more you take care of yourself, the better you feel. And then you can take care of those around you, whether you have children or a spouse or your best friends or your colleagues or, you know, whoever you're with. So figuring out that self-care and coming up with some plans, the bullet journaling classes. And then in the area of grief, I do what I call trigger and glimmer workshops. And so in grief, there's things that bring up some of those really hard emotions, anger, sadness, frustration, loneliness. And I call those triggers because I feel like it activates something in your system. But then there's the opposite. There's glimmers. There are those things that bring back a great memory or something of joy, or they make you laugh or it makes you smile. And so I have a workshop. I've offered in person. I'm happy to do it online as well, but I've offered it locally a few times and had people that have lost somebody, whether it's a spouse or a child or a grandparent, come and learn a little bit about writing and then going back and actually looking at what places for you are a trigger, what places for you are a glimmer. And sometimes they're the same thing. Like I was mentioning earlier about a song will come on the radio, and sometimes it does. It makes you smile. You remember, like, oh, this was my husband and I had started dating in high school. And so a song will come on, Bryan Adams, Heaven came on the other day. And it made me smile because I was remembering, like, holy cow, junior prom was so many years ago, and that was our theme of prom. And so it did. It made me smile. I sang along. But other times that comes on, and I'm like, oh, I miss him so much, and I miss that relationship. And so looking at triggers and glimmers, and being able to process through what can be, common triggers for grief, and then what can be those glimmers. And so I offer that workshop. And then I'm now just launching a new program called Heartfelt Healing. And in that program, it's a 12-week guided program for widows specifically. It's a different type of grief. There's a lot of similarities. I kind of compare it to fingerprints. We all have fingerprints, and they're all different. And so with grief, it's all connected to the fact that you loved somebody. You don't grieve what you didn't love. If you think about it as a simplistic level of, like, if a certain restaurant left the area, would you be upset? Well, no, because you don't love it. But if another restaurant that you frequent a lot, was to leave, you would grieve that. And that's on a very simplistic level versus, losing a person in your life and somebody that you've loved and been connected with. But in the 12-week program, we go through, and there's a writing activity each week, and then there's a question and answer so that you can communicate with me through email of asking questions. And then I am being trained as a grief movement trainer. So you do a lot of breathing and body work to release the grief from your physical body. And so in there, I will also be sharing videos as another method of working through some of that grief to not be stuck in grieving. And so to get back to living and having joy. And so that's a program. And I designed it originally just around grief in general, but because I'm a widow and I see the differences of now being the person that runs my household and in charge of all of my finances and all of my decisions, and being a single parent now and not having an anniversary to celebrate. That was something that was just us. And so there's lots of those different components. And so I've really targeted the program for widows because it's a different type of grief. And so being able to go through and reflect on your relationship and reflect on that person and look at what they're going to be missing and all of those components. So lots of different things depending on where you are in your journaling journey or where you are in your grief journey, and being able to combine those things together.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds beautiful. When does your 12-week journey start, your coaching?
It's actually, I thought it was going to start on June 3rd, which is coming up really quick. But I realized that it can actually start anytime. It doesn't have to have a starting point because it's kind of just set up, and there's emails that are automated. And so it can start whenever somebody is ready. So I'm meeting with a widow next week, and she wants to talk a little bit more about the program, and we couldn't find a time before, June 3rd to get together. And so I'll be meeting with her, and if she decides she wants to start, we'll just start it when she's ready. And I had another friend of mine who had lost her husband about a year and a half ago. She kind of piloted the program for me, and I sent her the different writing activities, and she was like, oh, this one's really long, or I'm not ready to do this one right now. That wasn't, I'm not there yet. And so can I skip this one? And so it's really able to be personalized based on how long it's been, where you are, what that relationship was like. Did you have children or not? Where is your do you have a faith component? Like, so there's just a variety of different activities, and they can take as long as you need. And so I'm really looking at personalizing it of if you need 2 weeks in between, or if you have a really busy time coming up, where you're going to be out of town for a week and you're not going to want to sit down and journal about grief, that we can spread out. But it's really 12 different writing activities that can be spread out over time. So it can start whenever.
Yeah, Okay, so it's more of a one-on-one thing, not a group.
Nope.
Got it. Is there anything else that you're coming up with or that you want to share with our audience?
I think just experimenting with some different ways to journal. And even just, I have a group on Facebook called Calm Water Writing, and it's a free public group. And so there's 100 and some members in it. And every day there's a writing prompt. And so it gets published at, 4 in the morning for those people that are early journalers and early risers. And then, obviously there's a different one every day and it's there throughout the day, but it's just a way to connect with other people. And so today's is like your favorite number. And so people are doing just a number as their comment. The other day it was a memory of a wedding. And so that was a really cool one because people shared like their son's wedding or their grandson's wedding or their own wedding. And so sometimes they're deep, sometimes they're not, but having a spot where you're given a prompt each day, and then you can choose to respond in the Facebook group or in your notebook or both. I think that's a really good way to start is just with a prompt. And so my common one I tell people is just pick a random word. It doesn't have to be something hard. It doesn't have to be an emotion like lasagna. Sit down and write about lasagna and see what comes up. And I think picking something that you don't think has meaning to it, can be a great way to start and see the experience that journaling, can provide. So for me, if I was to sit down and start writing about lasagna, you might start talking about whose lasagna you like, or is there a brand that you don't like? And then it might lead to, oh, I always make my grandma's lasagna. And oh, I remember being at my grandma's house when I was 6. And then you go down a rabbit hole and you're, 2 pages later, 10 minutes later, you're on some emotional thing. And now you're talking about your second grade teacher. It's just for me, journaling is a way that if you can just not panic about what's coming out and just let it flow, is where I find the healing component of it. Is so just starting with something and not having any expectations of where it's going to go, not worrying about it, and then not worrying about your handwriting or your spelling or the size of your letters or how messy it is. Like, this is not an English paper that you're going to turn in and your, ninth grade teacher is going to grade it and tell you that, there's dangling participles and run-on sentences. So what if there's run-on sentences? I very rarely use punctuation. I, maybe we'll have an exclamation point somewhere if something's happening, but I often don't have capital letters or punctuation. And if I spell something weird, I pick a different word or I cross it out. And so really getting over that it's not an English paper. It's not an assignment that somebody is giving you. It's just a way of connecting with your soul. And I think having some of the mentality around journaling that this doesn't have to be deep. It can literally be your to-do list for the day. It can be, remembering a trip that you went on and you're doing it just for that documentation purpose of wanting to go back and remember those pieces, or you're writing down the funny things your kids say each day so that you have that. Like, it doesn't have to be this, I'm going to sit down with my anger for 3 hours and write about everything I've ever been angry about and how that feels in my body. But it can be. Like, I think there's just different levels to it. And because I've journaled my whole life, I've been able to see how that's changed. And for me, I don't always like having a writing prompt. But sometimes when I'm feeling anxious and I'm worried about things and I don't really know what's happening, getting it out on paper can be helpful.
Absolutely. I'm always amazed at when I do have a prompt, what comes out. It's so fun to see kind of where it comes. And I've also done like our coaches, Kayla and Lisa, they will give us prompts sometimes, or we'll do like a visioning meditation and then they'll tell us, okay, now write what came out of that visioning meditation. And some of those can be so beautiful because, and you might like some of mine, like I'll start at the top. In 1 year from now, I see myself. And then what comes out is just like, oh, I didn't even realize that was in me. What a cool thing to be able to see that. So it can be deep on the other side of not just grief or anger or journaling about what feelings are coming up in a bad way, but it also can be deep in like a fun future visioning goals. And once you start writing, like you said, you never know what's going to come out. And it could be some really fun things that come out, like, oh, I didn't realize that I wanted to do that with my time.
Right. Yeah. And that's where the self-care, some of the self-care journaling of like, what brought you joy when you were seven? Like that can be a really fun thing, is to go back to when you were seven or 10 or 12 and go back and think about like what activities, like I'm sitting here right now and I'm watching a little boy walk by with a fishing pole. When he's 49, is he going to remember that fishing brought him joy? Like he is so happy right now going trucking along behind, you know, maybe an adult, I don't see one, but like just that joy of like going back and remembering like what did activities did you do? And maybe my sisters and I had a card shop. And we used to sit on my bed with paper, construction paper and markers and stencils. And we had a little on landline that wasn't connected. And people would call us and order an anniversary card or a birthday card. And then one of us would design the card and get it all ready. And I just think like, oh, my creating workbooks and books and things now is like the next level of that. But I did scrapbooking for a long time, and now using some of those scrapbooking techniques in my bullet journaling. And so just going back and looking at that, one fun activity for writing is make a list of 25 things you would do if your time, talent, and money were not a concern.
Ooh, that's a good
so
one.
So if you didn't. Yeah. And it's, and I often, when I've done it, you come up with kind of the first like 10, 12 of them kind of just automatically of like, I would go to Hawaii. I would get a new dishwasher. I would do these things. And then you're like, huh, so 25 things, what else? Oh, I would, you know, start a nonprofit. I would volunteer in a kindergarten classroom. Like things just then kind of come up as you're like, okay, what else would I do if I didn't have to worry about time? Mm-hmm. Time is such a thing of like, there's only 24 hours in a day. Okay, well, what if there wasn't? Like, what would you do? And what if you didn't have to worry about like money? Would you buy a new car? Would you buy a new house? Would you move? Would you do these things? Like, and then I always tell people when you do something like that, see what comes up.
Yeah.
Make a little star by something or circle something. And then that can lead to another processing of like, for me, going to Hawaii has been on my bucket list since I was probably eight. So 40 some years, I've had the desire to go to Hawaii. What is there to that? What is holding me back from it? Like, why don't I just go to Hawaii? Like I could tomorrow get on an airplane and go to Hawaii if time and, you know, money weren't a concern and having children and all of those pieces. So even taking what you write and being able to then do something further. So one of my biggest recommendations is brain dumping, mind unwind. There's different names for it, but just it often happens when I'm going to sleep at night. I lay down and I'm tossing and I'm turning and I'm thinking of things. And I've like, oh, I got to remember. And I'm like, shoot, I forgot to go and pick this up or drop this off or call this person. And I keep a little dollar store notebook by my bed. And I always have writing utensils around. And I will just, even sometimes in the dark, just grab the notebook and just write down for 2 minutes everything that I'm thinking about, whether it's deep or easy or quick, an errand, a to-do list, anything, just get it down. And then I put the notebook away and I go, and it helps me go to sleep. And so that's one of my biggest things is for people to keep a notebook near their bed, because when you're struggling to sleep, if you can get it out of your head onto paper, your mind isn't thinking about it anymore. And what you do with it after, you can throw it away. You can leave it in the notebook and turn to a new blank page. You can go back and actually turn that into your to-do list for that day or that week, you know, add it to a different list or use it as a reminder or use it as a journal prompt. But really, it's the task of getting it out of your head. And that's what I think journaling is. It's taking those thoughts, emotions, worries, fear, joy, gratitude, and getting it out of your head into a different format. And then you can choose if you're going to go back and ever look at it again, or if you're going to burn it, or you're going to take it and bury it somewhere, but get it out of your head. And then you can process it differently, whether you then have a conversation with somebody, or you talk with a counselor, or you have coffee with your best friend, Or you journal again about it to yourself. There's many things that I've journaled about grief over and over and over and over again for years. I lost my best friend in 2010, and I still will have things come up related to her death, or a memory of us going to the Chinese restaurant when our kids were little and cutting straws, like just all of those things. And so because I write it down once doesn't mean it's never going to come up again, but it gets easier if I can get it out of my head the first time.
Yeah. And as a massage therapist, I often will recommend people brain dumping before bed too, because it's helped me so much as well. It's like, oh, I've been tossing and turning and I can't sleep. And I'm thinking, I'm like, do you have a journal next to your bed? Just dump it out and get it out of your head. And they're like, oh, I should try that. But it, and if I do it, I dump everything out, I fall asleep so quickly every time.
Yeah. Yes.
It never happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another one, that it doesn't have to be neat or organized or legible or whatever. Somebody's like, well, I don't want to turn on a light and disturb my husband. And I was like, don't turn on the light. Like, this doesn't have to be, you're not making this beautiful list that you're going to publish somewhere. Like, you're literally just taking the thoughts from your brain and putting them in a notebook so that your body doesn't have to be focused on them anymore. It's literally just dumping that out. It's putting them somewhere else so that your body can then focus on sleep and rest and recharging. And then you can pick it up in the morning if you want, but
maybe
most of the time I don't. Yeah. Most of the time I do not look at that list. It's gone out of my head now. I might go back and think like, oh, what did I write on that list last night? Of like, oh, I have to remember to call the insurance company today. Mm-hmm. Or there's little things that will come up, but I do it to help me sleep, not to necessarily process.
Yeah. And I do it because I'm like, okay, I have to remember these things. So I do, I will take it as a to-do list of like, these are three things I for sure have to get done today. So mine needs to be kind of legible.
But I think even if it's sort of legible, you're able to then, it's going to come back to you. Mm-hmm. It's not like, it's still part of you. And so even if it's sort of legible, you'll be like, oh, what else was I thinking about? And then your brain is like, oh, that word was insurance. And you're like, oh yeah, I can kind of see that. Or I tend to do abbreviations. And so I'll go back sometimes and look at a journal, right? And I'm like, what would that stands for? Like I do MTG as meeting all the time. And so I have kind of some consistent ones that, and I do BC for because, like I very rarely write out the word because. So figuring out those techniques of, you know, what style does it work? And the notebook I have by my bed isn't one that I would ever use for actual journaling. It's very small. It's a chunky little, like I said, dollar store notebook. The paper is really pretty thin and sad. And I don't like the big spiral on it, but it works for getting a thought out of my head. And it's small, that it doesn't take up a lot of space on my nightstand. And
right,
I always have a couple pens there to grab, but yeah, you don't have to worry about it being on the lines or that it's spelled correctly. And just, yeah, even in the dark, just get it out of your head and it can really help with sleep. And so that's my first thing that I recommend to people is do brain dumps. And whether you do them at the end of your day or after you're having trouble falling asleep, I mean, ideally, I should do a brain dump before I get into bed, and then I wouldn't have to toss and turn for 10 minutes before I remember that, oh yes, brain dump works. Or I've recommended to teachers to brain dump on a Friday afternoon. Get all of your stuff like out of your head from that week, of stuff you're thinking about, issues you had, things you need to do the next week. Like get it out of your head on Friday, and then your brain is more open for the weekend. And so doing that at the end of, and the end of your work day or at the end of your work week or before you leave on vacation, like doesn't have to just be with sleep, but getting out all of your thoughts and then you can choose what you do with them.
Yeah, definitely.
So brain dumps are my, brain dumps are my first recommendation. And then learning what tools and purpose you have for journaling are kind of my starting points that I recommend. And then using prompts can be really helpful, but also just sitting down and seeing what comes out. Just start writing down like what you have to do today, and you don't know where it's going to go. Suddenly you're making a list of your long-term goals, or you're writing down a task list, or you're processing a memory of your grandma. Like it can just go where it needs to go.
I also want to mention that there doesn't have to be any expectation on it. So, like I mentioned earlier, that I've been consecutively journaling for the last 20 years or whatever. And sometimes I write every day for 6 months straight. And sometimes I write once every 6 months. And sometimes I write once every 3 months. And you, Emily, for example, you write a lot more and have different journals and stuff. But sometimes you might get in seasons of life. Like I have a space in my life, like a year and a half, where I'm like, what was I doing? Why wasn't I writing? But I was just going through my journals recently. I'm like, weird, there's like this space that I don't have a journal. So sometimes you might go through those periods. And I think sometimes we put too many expectations on ourselves and then it gets boring or it gets hard. And so then we just quit.
Yeah, and for me, I've kind of developed a routine around journaling, and so people are like, "How do you fit it in? When do you find time?" And I was like, "Well, some days it's like 3 minutes. It's not like I sit down and I journal for an hour, but there are other days that I will grab a notebook and drive out to the shore of Lake Superior and sit for an hour on the beach and just write out all kinds of different things, and it takes up pages, and I'll stop in between and just breathe or say a prayer, or I'll walk for a while and then I'll come back to it. And there's times where I do really intentionally sit down and journal stuff. I keep my journals in my bathroom. And somebody's like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's just my bathroom. Like nobody else uses it. But the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is go into the bathroom." Yeah, to use the bathroom, to brush my teeth, to take my supplements, often to take a shower. And so my journals are there. And so it's part of that routine. When I go to the bathroom, I fill out my bullet journal for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And then I will often grab my journal. I often take it with me to the kitchen table and I'll make a cup of chai and kind of get cozy to do some of my journaling. But today I actually wrote while I was in the bathroom for a couple minutes. But like you say, it's not. I feel kind of like a hypocrite of saying, like, you should journal every day. You should journal every day. I don't journal every day. Mine goes in streaks. And I have times where I'm writing 3, 4, 5, 6 pages a day for 3 or 4 weeks. And then the next week, I'm like, oh, I answered that prompt in this course I was taking. And so my journaling is not necessarily in my journal, it's somewhere else. Or I'm listening to a podcast and it brings up something, and I'll sit down and journal in a notebook that I keep in my car. I have one in my bag that I take with me. And so the journaling can look completely different, and it's dependent on what you're going through. I was back to grieving a lot last week, and I probably should have journaled more. There's that should word. Probably should have journaled a lot more last week because I know I was back in the grieving, but I didn't want to. That wasn't where I wanted to be. I wanted to spend time with people. And so I spent more time with people than I did with my notebook. And there's no right or wrong. That doesn't, you don't have to do it every day. You don't have to do it for a certain length of time or a certain, there's a woman named Julia Cameron who talks about the artist's way. And in her book, she talks about morning pages. And her idea is that before you do absolutely anything else, is you write 3 pages. Every morning, before you even start to function, you write 3 pages. And you write, and even if you're writing, I don't know what I'm writing, like it's that stream of consciousness kind of, you just keep going until you get 3 pages. And that I did for a long time, probably 6 or 7 months. Every day I wrote 3 pages. And it was interesting to see some days I was like, I should probably go to the grocery store and buy. And then I would actually write like a grocery list and skip a line to try to fill up the 3 pages. But so there's so many different techniques of, do you write weekly? Do you write monthly? Do you write just when it's emotional? Do you write a brain dump every night before you go to bed? Do you write, 2 pages in the morning? Do you write a letter to somebody every week? Do you write thank you notes, and send one every day? Like, there's so many different styles that are journaling, and there are no rules to it. There's no rules to how you write, when you write, how much you write, how often you write. It's totally a personalized journey. And it's a journey of going back and seeing the styles and how you've done it and how it's different and what you choose to, use to write with and where you write. And it depends on the timing in your life and how busy you are. Right now, since I've retired and I own my own business, I have time in the morning where I can sit down and write for a half an hour most days if I choose to. When I was teaching full time and had littles at home, I didn't have time to journal for a half an hour ever. Maybe a Saturday night after everybody had gone to bed. But just choosing, and for me, it's fun, it's therapeutic, it's enjoyable, it's not a chore for me. So I would rather sit down and write than go for a walk. Or I'd rather sit down and write than do a guided meditation. I'd rather sit down and write than to, you know, go and do dishes. So there's lots of different things that people choose to, you know, process and think and go through things and have memories. But for me, writing has always been a part of my life. And now being able to share that with others and help them with healing and goal writing and productivity and planning the future and really focusing on healing from grief has been important. And it's helping me realize that the loss of different people in my life, especially my husband, is not without purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Wow. We covered so much ground with journaling. It's so beautiful. So to wrap this up, I just want to have you share what your business name is. First of all, I think you mentioned it once, but just to kind of reiterate that, and then where people can find you. You've mentioned a Facebook group, just kind of roll that around for us so we can find you.
So I have a website and it's calmwaterwriting.com. Water for me is another one of my therapeutic pieces. And so journaling by the water is like the ideal thing. And so calmwaterwriting.com. My website, it's got links to all kinds of different things. I have some of my published works are listed on Amazon. If you search for Emily Lankor, it will bring that up. I also have an author page that links those. And then on Facebook, I have two different groups. I have a calm water writing, all, you know, spaced out as actual three words. And that's where there's writing prompts and resources and things. And then I have a grief group as well. And then I also have a podcast called Grief is Random and Real. There's a few episodes out where I just randomly talk about the realness of grief and where it's affecting me and thoughts that I have. So Grief is Random and Real is the podcast. And so I'm available. And then I also have a public profile of just Emily Lankor on Facebook. And I share my story and different resources there too.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for sharing. Is there anything else you want to add quick before you wrap up? Or do you feel like we covered ground?
I feel like we covered ground, and I could talk about journaling and writing and grief for days and days and days. So if somebody wants to reach out and have more of a conversation or look at what tools or workbooks can be helpful, and especially if you are grieving.
All right. Well, thank you so much for hopping on. This was super fun, especially since I love journaling too. And I feel like it'll serve a lot of people in their grief journey and just even maybe wanting to start journaling.
Yeah. Thank you for having me as a guest. I'm enjoying listening to your podcast and learning from all of these different people in our community, and go and grab a piece of paper and write down some stuff today.
Perfect. Thank you. And that, my friends, is a wrap on this episode of the Journey to Wellness podcast. I would love it if you could take the time to head over and give us a review on what you thought of this podcast. And if you have any questions or need to find anything, you can check out the show notes, or you can send us a DM as well. We are so thankful you're here, and we look forward to seeing you next time.